Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran, when the Steelers opened the season last year against Atlanta, starting offense, Justin Fields, not here anymore. Najee Harris, not here anymore. George Pickens, not here anymore. Van Jefferson, not here anymore. Michael Pruitt, Darnell Washington, Spencer Anderson, James Daniels, Dan Moore. Are you kidding me? Defense. You had Benton, you had Hayward. They'll be carryovers. Larry Ogunjobi, a starting defensive tackle. You had Highsmith and Queen. TJ Watt. But you had Landon Roberts. No more Landon Roberts. You had Dante Jackson, Minka Fitzpatrick. This roster has turned over in one offseason at really a remarkable rate.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen this before. And they got guys. And yeah, they got older guys. So what? This is supposed to be the one-year bridge to your franchise quarterback. Why not throw a bunch at the wall and see what sticks? That's what I'm getting a lot of on social media right now. Oh, they got older. Okay, Jalen Ramsey's older than Minka Fitzpatrick. It doesn't make him old. Like, Aaron Rodgers is old.
Or bad.
Right.
Doesn't make them bad.
I just got this. They got slower on defense. No, they didn't.
No.
Not by a long shot. Again, if you want to compare Jalen Ramsey to other corners and compare Minka Fitzpatrick to other safeties, Jalen Ramsey clears relative to his position with every important statistic. Minka did not, and Minka was making $24 million this year. I don't know how anybody can actually be against this trade. 412-928-9370.
It is, you know, what the overhaul of the roster from last year to this year is significant, clearly, as you just stated. But the most significant one, obviously, going all the way back to it's the quarterback room, like, which is shocking to me. Like, usually you have somebody from the last regime to stick around. And you could say Mason Rudolph was a Steeler before, but he was never in this offense. The whole entire room is different.
For the second consecutive year, the entire room is different.
That is crazy. And you have, you know, I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a Mason Rudolph, and you have a draft pick. I think that, you know, what they did with that room this year, I think it finally makes a little bit more sense. I think they weren't just throwing stuff at the wall for this quarterback room. I think they were last year. They were trying to figure it out. Hey, we'll take two shots at this with two guys that we think that can run this offense and get us into contention.
That are going to be cheap.
But this year, it seemed like there was more of a plan, even though the Rodgers thing did draw out a long time. Like, they got their draft pick in the late round that he'll be a part of the Steelers for a while. Probably won't start, and they'll get their first round pick next year. But, you know, Will Howard will be around for a while. And then you bring back Mason Rudolph, who you knew was going to be your backup the whole time. I think they actually had a plan this year with the overhaul of the quarterback room.
I'm with you, and they're not mortgaging the future. You make a good point about bringing in a rookie next year. You'll have Will Howard on his rookie deal. You'll have potentially Mason Rudolph at four and change. You are already going to have the most cap space in the league next year, even with a TJ Watt contract extension. And you've got 12 draft picks. So I don't know why anybody would have a problem with what they're doing. I'm not saying it'll work, but I think it's worth the shot.
Yeah.
Let's see how far we can advance this year. And maybe you do win a playoff game or two. But if you don't, okay, you transition into next year with all that cap space, with all those draft picks, and we just saw how quickly you can turn a roster over. They'll flip it over again. Again, I don't know that this leads to the next great era of Pittsburgh Steelers football. I will not argue with the process, though. Mm-mm. It's the same thing I've said about Kyle Dubas. I have no idea if what he's doing is going to work. But I understand the process. All these draft picks. We're going to get younger. We're probably going to be pretty bad this year. Maybe we get Gavin McKenna. Even if not, maybe a bottom five draft pick. And we're going to rebuild this thing. Process, good. Results, we'll see. Steelers, process, good. Results, we'll see. And it's tough to say it because I think their process has been flawed for a while, but I don't want to watch them be horrific this year. I don't have patience for that. And you don't have to be really bad this year to get your next franchise quarterback. You'll have to pay more when it's the time. And by pay more, I mean in terms of draft assets. Like, they're probably going to have to use two at least first-round picks to get their franchise quarterback next year. Okay, so be it.
So be it.
412-928-9370. Someone writes in, yeah, and they'll go 10-7. I don't know, man. They went 10-7 last year, and the quarterback play down the stretch was horrendous. Horrendous. And they got banged up down the stretch, and they played probably the most unforgivable schedule we've seen in Steelers history. Their schedule ain't a walk in the park this year. It ain't that.
Right. How can you hate on something that, the, you know, a team or an organization is trying to go for it? Like, I just can't. Like, they're doing everything they could possibly do to try to win this coming season. Like, whether they go 10-7 or not, like, how could you be upset about the moves that they're making? They're making moves to get better to try to win. Like, nobody wants to go through, you know, a 4-and-whatever season. Nobody wants to see that here. I don't care what people say. Oh, well, they're rebuilding. Well, people will be so upset. And during the season, if the Steelers were like that, if the Steelers, that was their vision. Their vision right now is to try to win this year and try to throw as much, you know, as everything that they can at the plate so they could try to win this year. How can you be upset about that?
I'm with you, buddy.
I don't understand.
412-928-9370. Texter writes in, this trade is like when I will give you two bananas and an apple for your prime rib. Clearly, they got the better player. Another texter writes in, if you're giving up more than the other team, you're getting the better player. I think that is looking at this with zero nuance whatsoever. What the Dolphins have done the last few years, they were pot committed to try to win the Super Bowl. They failed, and now they're up against the salary cap. They could not afford to pay Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. So if you think about Jonnu Smith and whatever he's going to make on his next contract, they could afford one contract. They could afford Minka's contract. They could not afford both. And so it has much more to do about money than it does, oh, we got the much better player in the deal. Because again, statistically, everything would point to Jalen Ramsey being better at his position last year than Minka was at his position. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And the tape, as you watch, I mean, that'll bear that out. And Jalen Ramsey, a much more useful piece because he plays a much more important position. The Dolphins just couldn't afford those deals. That's what this came down to. 412-928-9370. From a schematic standpoint, it's another reason why I like these things. Because we've been bitching, moaning, complaining, as has Steelers Nation for years, that they have not attacked the middle of the field on offense. Well, Russell Wilson wasn't good at that. And he's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. That was never his strong suit. Justin Fields, for whatever reason, that wasn't his strong suit either. They weren't going to trust Kenny to throw over the middle of the field because what they asked him to do was protect the ball. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw over the middle of the field. And if you don't believe that, then you're ignoring what they're telling us through their personnel moves. DK Metcalf will run a route tree that George Pickens just wasn't running. He's not just a deep threat. Now you got two tight ends over the middle of the field. So they're telling
three.
You three with Darnell Washington.
And you know, Aaron likes Darnell a lot.
He does.
I wouldn't scoff at that whenever he talks about
Darnell. Good point.
He's talked about him twice now to the media. He's going to be used a lot, whether it's red zone or not. Whether it's red zone or in the middle of the field.
He called him Mercedes Lewis.
They're going to use Darnell a lot. Watch.
They were top five in the league last year in three tight end usage, thinking that's going to go up this year. And you've got a quarterback that actually likes to throw the ball over the middle of the field, which is also something that will guard against a bad offensive line if it winds up being bad.
Yep.
And it might not be. I don't know. I'm not super high on Broderick Jones, but we'll find out. And you just don't really know about Troy Faltanu, though they're high on him. So offensively, you got that. I was screaming all year last year. Stop with the single high, stop with the cover three. They were so damn predictable defensively. Well, now I don't think they're going to be. At least their personnel moves are telling you they're not going to be. And so I think you can blitz more when you've got better man coverage corners.
For sure.
Beanie, not very good. Let's just call it what it is. And Dante Jackson, yeah, he had some interceptions. That guy was a canker sore on this defense. You couldn't blitz because that guy wasn't going to hold up in man coverage. So we've been asking for them to change offensively and defensively schematically, and I think that these moves point to that being the case. Do you like the move? Do you love the move? 412-928-9370. Do you hate the move? I don't know where this person's going to come down, Doran. Angela in Beachview, the queen of Fan Morning Show listeners. Hello, Angela.
Hi, guys. Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay, I knew it.
So, we have the highest, I think, paid defense in the league. We ended up, what, last year, ninth? Or eighth?
And they cratered in the playoffs and down the stretch. Yes, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that is correct. It's the same reason why it gave the appearance that Minka, quote-unquote, fell off. It was misused, and the play calling sucked, okay? Steelers have a propensity for putting players to set them up to fail. They did it with Broderick Jones. They did it with Minka. They did it with Kendrick Green. And now there's talk.
You could
about,
argue they're it with T.J. Watt. I mean, I think you do make a lot of good points, Angela.
You know, and now they're talking about, oh, we'll put Ramsey here, we'll put Ramsey there. We already have two tight ends that weren't even hardly used last year. Now we got a third one for a guy that can't play call out of his way out of a paper bag. So
you're not giving them benefit of the doubt. I understand. I think you're right. I'm sitting here talking about all the, and thank you, Angela, sitting here talking about all these schematic things that they are telling you that they're going to do. Doesn't mean they're going to do them.
It doesn't mean they're going to do them, but like, I mean, you know, in Minka's case, I think they tried a lot of different things and a lot of things just didn't work. Maybe he didn't fit what they were trying to do, but they did try him like different ways. It's a lot different whenever you're paying somebody. Like, you know, okay, like you can do that with a rookie. Like, you can move him around. You could try different things and not try different things. But I think with Jalen Ramsey taking on this contract, you better use him, right? You're paying for it.
Yeah, and if they
you're paying for it.
It's unforgivable, right? I mean, it is.
You better.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're going to extend T.J. Watt? If T.J. Watt comes to your office, is like, I want to move around, you better move his ass around.
I know Mike Tomlin ain't going anywhere, and so this might just be a sacrificial lamb kind of thing. If this isn't a top three defense in the NFL, maybe top one defense in the NFL, Terrell Austin can't come back for another season. Because somebody's going to have some splaining to do.
Crowley, and we talked about this right before the show. There are so many things you can do with this defense now that gives you so much flexibility in so many different areas that quarterbacks probably haven't seen. You can get real funky with it. With Peyton Wilson, with Jalen Ramsey, with Darius Slay, with Deshaun Elliott, T.J. Watt. I mean, there are so many versatile guys, Patrick Queen, so many versatile guys on this defense that if they don't come away, like you said, one or two in the league,
it's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. And I think that overall they have more depth at the most important positions. I mean, you even add Jack Sawyer outside linebacker. I would say that's the most important position on this defense and really around the league. And then I'd go corner, and you've got three good ones right now. Here's a tweet. We made fun of the Browns for years for winning the offseason and going for it. Now we're supposed to celebrate going for either the oldest roster in the NFL. Got it.
Go ahead.
It's an apples to meatloaf comparison.
Absolutely. The Browns were never good. The Steelers are actually decent and good. They made the playoffs last year. They were never like a three-win team.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, did the Steelers give up multiple first-round picks for $250 million of guaranteed money to a quarterback?
No, they paid a quarterback, what, $10 million?
The only draft pick of consequence that they have given up in all this moving and shaking on this roster was a second-round pick for DK Metcalf, and I don't remember anybody arguing with the merits of that at the time. Yeah, you can say that the Steelers have done the old thing and the win the offseason thing. Fair enough, they kind of have, but they're not mortgaging the future the way that the Browns have done.
The
Browns gave up more in one trade for Deshaun Watson than the Steelers have given up in three offseasons of player movement.
They spent probably right around less than $20 million for four quarterbacks in 2 years.
And hey, it hasn't yielded a playoff win, and this might not either, but I'd rather do that. I'd rather go stopgap, than here's $250 million guaranteed to a guy that has never set foot in the Browns facility before. I just don't think that's a comparison that is intellectually honest. I think it's an intellectually dishonest comparison. I think it's apples to freaking poop. I think it's stupid. Yep. Doesn't mean it'll work. Again, I don't want to like go overboard defending the Steelers, but they also didn't sell their soul. There's that. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I think Jeff's off this week.
I was about to say, did we forget Jeff?
I think he's off. Okay. He was listed as off on the schedule.
That's right.
But I have never looked close enough at the schedule to know if he's just listed as off, as if he's not hosting shows.
Right, same. It's the same thing.
Yeah, he's probably off. Yeah.
So I just caught him while he's on vacation then, is that?
Did he yell at you?
He didn't. The first time it actually didn't ring at all. It just went straight to voicemail. Second time it did ring. And then I texted him and I asked him, hey, are you coming on? So.
Did we wake him up?
He didn't text me back.
Oh, good. So. I hope we didn't, because Jeff deserves some time. All right, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
I just checked the schedule back here. I'm sorry, he is definitely off.
Yeah. Thank you for saying what we've already said. Coming up next, what does this mean for Pat Freiermuth? What does this mean for Joey Porter Jr.? Does this have anything to do with a TJ Watt contract? Give us a ring on that fan hotline. 412-928-9370, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Talking Steelers, Dolphins trade all morning long, and we'd like you to weigh in on that. What does this all mean for Joey Porter Jr.? I think it's pretty obvious that in your base defense, when there's two corners out there, it's going to be probably Joey and Slay. I'm not sure that's the right move. I'm not sure that's putting your best two corners on the field at that time. But I do understand, like, this is a bridge year in a year where you're going for it. But if you're going to be good moving forward, that guy's going to be a big part of it. And so you can't sit his ass on the bench. And they're not going to play a lot of base. Like, we get like 25% of the time. But just for a conversation standpoint, I do think he's going to be out there in that situation. But they'll play nickel a whole bunch. They'll play dime a whole bunch, and you'll have all three guys out there.
Yeah, I don't think that he'll come off the field. Now, there may be some games. If he has some games like he did last year where he had like multiple penalties, I think it's more easier to take in if you sit him down, because you have the depth and you feel comfortable with the two veteran corners going in. So I'm not going to say his leash is short. His leash is long, and definitely long term, because they want him to be the number one corner. But I think that they'll be okay, like, if he is in a rut of putting him, of sitting him down.
Yeah.
Of sitting him down.
Hey, take a series off.
But, like, I mean, for growth wise, I think that this is a really good situation, because you're in the room with two veteran, all pro, Super Bowl winning corners. And I don't know how much better you can get than that, of being going into your, third year. And having those guys as somewhat mentors and you're playing next to, and just like the little things that they probably do, that they are absolutely going to be willing to help you.
Yeah, like, you got to be a sponge.
They are absolutely going to be, they're going to be in Joey Porter's ear every single second. Every single second. This is the best situation for him, growth-wise, though.
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
Couldn't ask for a better situation.
And we lamented the fact a couple of weeks ago that you're an injury away from Corey Trice being a starting corner. And you had Beanie Bishop in all likelihood starting in the slot. Well, now you're an injury away from Beanie Bishop, and you're an injury away from Corey Trice.
Mm.
That's a much better spot to be in. And a lot of people have texted in, do you move Ramsey to safety? Do you move Slay to safety? To start, those guys are playing corner for me. I think if the speed is an issue for Slay, like it was with Patrick Peterson, okay. Necessity is the mother of invention. Maybe you would at that point move him to safety, but I don't start that way. And Ramsey can play some there, and I think he's going to be a chess piece, and you will use him there. But I don't think the swap was move out Minka, who's been a three-time All-Pro safety, to then take a three-time All-Pro corner and move him to safety. If that were the case, I think you'd get worse.
Right.
And older, and I don't want that.
Right. But I could see, if you really want all three corners on the field at the same time, like, I could see in the base defense, where you do put Darius Slay. I would put Darius Slay at free safety and have Deshaun Elliott, you know, in the box or in the two high in base defense. If you want all three of them on the field at the same time, like, that won't hurt. Like, he's just covering a third of the
field.
That's
a good point.
You know, he's just
that's a really good point.
You know, he's just being a center fielder.
So 25% of the time he'll be out there. I think that's a good idea.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and then the whole platoon method too. Like, I mean, as the season does go on, we're talking about getting into November and there's the reps are starting to pile on. Like, the platoon of Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey, I think, is going to be beneficial.
Yeah. Turn my mic off.
Yeah, if you want him on the field at the same time, why not put Slay as a deep third safety?
And Dulac tweeted out last night that they envision that being the case, that more often than not, those three will be on the field at the same time. And if, even if Slay doesn't play some free safety in the base, you would still see them on the field at the same time. Because you're going to play sub-package, quote-unquote, 75% of the time.
Exactly.
So they're going to be out there a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And people have said the defense is slower. I don't know what the hell you're looking at. Jalen Ramsey's 31. He's not over the hill. Like, why did 31 all of a sudden, you're over 30, you're Jalen Ramsey. Oh, my God, can't run anymore.
Again, it's 2025.
He was, like, a great player last year. He's not, Darius Slay's old. He's old for his position. Yeah. Let's just call it what it is. Doesn't mean he was bad last year, but at some point, yeah. At 34, he could run out there in an October game and all of a sudden you go, holy shoot, man, the guy can't run anymore. That could happen. It's not going to happen with Jalen Ramsey this year. It's not. He's 31. He's not old. He's older than Minka. And I don't think Minka was running as good as he used to either. And I don't like the way they used him. And I do have some usage questions here. I'm worried, but they have so many good pieces now defensively at the prime positions. Again, it's a disaster if this is not, at worst, really, a top three defense. What does this mean for Freiermuth? What does this mean for a potential TJ Watt contract? We'll get into all that. We got Are You Smarter Than a Plumber coming up next. We'll break it up with a little hijinks, a little trivia. That's right! Are You Smarter Than a Plumber with Southside Jake, who was on vacation for a little bit there, and now he's back. This is the only break we're going to take from Steelers talk, and even then, we might not. Because we have no idea the questions are going to come our way. Hello, Jake.
What's up, fellas? I'm back from vacation, and I'm ready for a clean sweep today.
How was vacation? Oh. Where'd you go?
It was excellent. We went to Pompano Beach, a little family vacation. My parents, my sister, and her kids, and then obviously my kids. It was a great week. It was a long week. Obviously, vacations with kids sometimes are not vacations, more of a trip.
I would agree with that. You also tan like a piece of masking tape. I mean, you're just as white as when you left.
I think I have a dark complexion like Doran right now.
Mm. No. You still look the same.
All right, Jake. Hit us with the trivia, baby.
All right. I got some doozies today. We're going to start off with a really tough one. Where did Hines Ward play college at? all right, here we go. Jalen Ramsey holds the state of Tennessee high school track and field record for what event? A, the long jump. B, high jump. C, 100 meter dash. Or D, pole vault. Remember, you have two lifelines, 50-50 and ask Callis. And do you need me to repeat the question?
No.
It's either a long jump or 100 meter. And I would probably say a long jump.
Yeah, sure.
Long jump. Locking it in, boys?
Yep.
You are correct. He holds the state record for high school track and field, 25'3¼".
Oh my God!
I know athletes. I know athletes.
Doran, that's a long jump.
That is a long jump.
25 feet.
Yeah, that's soaring in the air.
Soaring.
Yep.
Flying.
I think he set that in 2013. I think it's when he was a senior in high school. It's amazing to me. All right. Moving on. Okay, well, clean sweep is out. I thought I might have had it today. Okay. How many Pirates Hall of Famers are also in another team's Hall of Fame? So we're talking strictly Pirates Hall of Fame, you know, not the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Pirates Hall of Fame.
So Parker's going to be in the Reds Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds.
A5.
Bonds. Oh, okay. Yeah.
B2, okay. C4, or D6?
Parker and Bonds for sure. I wonder if Kiner's in the Mets Hall of Fame because he was a broadcaster. What were the numbers?
A5, B2, C4, D6.
Damn it.
Maybe Callis knows this one.
Callis, you want to take a stab here with us too?
He's not paying attention.
I am paying attention. But you put the numbers in a weird order. Usually Who Wants to Be a Millionaire would have them in like chronological order. So you just count up.
Does it matter? I mean, you know the numbers.
Could you read them back to me in sequential order?
Sure.
Yeah.
I could do that. How many Pirates Hall of Famers are also in another team's Hall of Fame? B2, C4, A5, or D6?
If I had to guess.
I'm going to guess two.
Yeah. I'm going to say four. I think it's more than two.
I'm really tricked out on Kiner here. Should we go 50-50?
Yeah.
50-50.
Whoa. Two lifelines on one question?
Well, because if we win this one, we just beat you.
That's true. That's true.
Throw it all at it.
Okay. Remaining options are C4 or A5.
Dang it. Harry said four. You've said four. We're going with four.
C4, final answer, boys.
Yep.
You are incorrect. It is A5.
Gosh.
Give them to us. This is going to drive us nuts.
Ralph Kiner is in the Mets. Dave Parker, Reds. Barry Bonds, Giants. Jim Leland, the Marlins.
Oh!
And Jake Beckley was also in the Reds Hall of Fame.
Oh, that. Jake Beckley.
Beckley.
All right.
Yeah, I mean.
Rubber I'm match sorry. Question. That's a good question. I like that question.
All right. Let's move on. This is it. You have no lifelines left either. This is not looking good for you boys. I hate to say that. All right. In the 1979-1980 NHL season, goalie masks became mandatory. But in what year was the Penguins goalie, Andy Brown, the last goalie in NHL history to play without a mask? Okay, remember, mandatory, 1979 to 1980 season. A, 1974, B, 1982, C, 1969, or D, 1976?
Wasn't Jim Rutherford the first one to wear a mask for the Penguins? He doesn't know. He's taking a long drink of water.
He definitely does know, but then we would have to figure out what year.
Damn. I have no clue.
First one to wear a mask, but the Penguins, Jim Rutherford was?
I thought so.
What years did he play for the Penguins?
I don't know the exact years on that.
Either do I.
I'm going to go 76.
Yeah, me too.
Your Rocky King.
Okay, D76 is incorrect. It is 1974.
Man, I was going to do that. That's when my dad graduated high school. That's what I was thinking about. I'm just going to do it because of that.
And his dad used to tell him all the time whenever he graduated high school that that was the last time a Penguin.
Andy Brown.
Yeah, Andy Brown.
Andy Brown, the last player in NHL history to not wear a goalie mask.
Man, I got a text from my hockey knowing uncle. Right after the answer came in, I was totally going to cheat if we got there first. All right, Jake.
Oh, man.
You took this round. Get the hell out of here.
All right, I'm going to go fix some air conditioning because that seems like that's a hot commodity these days.
I talked to Jake on the phone yesterday, and our guy is swimming in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Boys, I tell you, I think, honestly, this is crazy. I think people would go without heat in the winter rather than go without air conditioning in the summer.
I'm with you.
Yep, with you. 100%.
It's insane. It's insane. But, guys, great to be back. Good to hear from you. Talk to you next week.
See you, buddy.
See you, Jake.
Southside Jake. Yes. It is, 7:43. When we come back, I didn't want to read a sponsor.
Yep.
Yeah, I do. When we come back, what does this mean for TJ Watt and the Steelers' negotiations with him about a contract? What does this all mean for Pat Freiermuth? 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. in 10 minutes. What's the ceiling for this Steelers defense now, minus Minka, but with Jalen Ramsey? 412-928-9370. Right now, what does this all mean for TJ Watt? Adam Schefter, busy man yesterday, tweeted out, sources, in recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for Steelers standout TJ Watt, who skipped the team's most recent minicamp. Pittsburgh hasn't shown any willingness to deal Watt so far, but he's unhappy with his contractual situation, and sources believe outside team interest is likely to increase given today's trade. I can understand it from this perspective, why teams would be thinking they could get TJ Watt. Other teams probably thought that Minka was one of their building block pieces on defense. And if you can get one, maybe you can get the other. The way I look at it is completely the opposite. And the way they look at it, I think, is completely opposite. You are loading up for this year. Why would you spend $33 million a season on DK Metcalf, $13 million on Aaron Rodgers, bring in Darius Slay for $10 million at 34 years old, Jonnu Smith, and Jalen Ramsey if you were just going to turn around and trade TJ Watt?
Right.
Now, nothing they will do will ever surprise me again, because under Omar Khan, they've done a lot of surprising things. This would be as close to being shocked as I would be, though. They're going to pay him. I really believe that. Doesn't mean he's not pissed. I think just the fact that Schefter reported that means he's pissed.
Because
I think that comes right from Watt's agent trying to light a little fire under the Steelers. And I imagine it'll still get done. But I think that's where it came from. I think Watt's annoyed. And he's clearly not the priority. Remember all the Steelers beat writers telling us that nothing could happen because Omar's on vacation? They signed Elliott to a contract extension and made the biggest trade in Steelers history, probably on a beach somewhere. So they can get it done with Watt. I still don't think it'll get done until training camp, but I still think it gets done. Do you think it gets done?
Yeah, I think it gets done, but I was just kind of going through my head, like, would it make sense? Like, it wouldn't make sense to trade TJ Watt, but would it make sense if they traded TJ Watt for another edge rusher, an up-and-comer edge rusher that is pretty good? I can't even, like, Danielle Hunter or something. Danielle Hunter, whatever, you know, a younger guy that is out there, Greg Rousseau or something like that, that has played, has been somewhat dominant, but a little bit younger. If they traded and got him in like another draft pick, would that make sense?
I think if they trade TJ Watt for anything right now, it wouldn't make sense with the other offseason moves they've made. Like, if they were going to trade TJ Watt, I think it would be, yeah, you trade Minka, which they just did, but you probably don't sign Metcalf and you're probably trying to sink to the bottom of the league. I think you can't say we want to win and then move that guy. And they said he wants to be a one Hamlet guy. They want him to be a one Hamlet guy. For all those reasons, it just doesn't make any sense to me if they would trade him now. At the beginning of the offseason, if they traded him, that would have been the thing I'd argue for. Now I don't want them to trade him.
What, Micah Parsons?
He's so stupid.
TJ for Micah Parsons straight up.
Well, I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat. 412-928-9370. Adam Schefter also said he believes that TJ Watt could absolutely request a trade publicly, similar to Myles Garrett. But he also wrote that wouldn't go over real, real well. He ain't going to do that. He throws up deuces on Instagram. He holds out minicamp. He holds out OTAs. He may well hold out training camp. I think that's as far as he'll go. I don't think he's going to request a trade publicly.
I don't think he's going to request a trade, but I don't think he's going to cave.
No, he's going to, and here's the, he's going to wind up making more than Myles Garrett. He just is. That would actually stun me if he doesn't. Now, if Micah Parsons' deal gets made in the interim, if the Cowboys want to reset the market on Parsons because that's what they do, and they did it with Dak, then I don't think you're going to pay TJ more than Micah Parsons. They're different players. They're both edge rushers. They move Micah all over the field. That's not even the conversation for me. It's just the age thing. Like, you're the next up, you're one of the best at that position, and you're also 26. You should probably make more than TJ Watt. Just pay Watt more than Miles and move on.
If that's what he wants.
What else would he want? To get more than Micah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably the method that you would take to wait it out to see if Hendrickson gets paid. Or Micah Parsons gets paid. Until they get paid, then you go back to the draw. You go back to the table of like, all right, well, I don't know if he wants to be the highest paid or higher than
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and we're all guessing on that.
Absolutely guessing.
And I try to put myself in his shoes, and if I do, I mean, I guess I probably would want to be the highest paid.
Right.
And if I'm his agent, I do wait and just monitor the Micah situation. It can't, I mean, that can't hurt you. That's not going to make you get less money. Plus, if I'm TJ, like, I think if it were me, I would show up to training camp and jog around on the sideline. I wouldn't want to participate in training camp.
No.
I wouldn't want to actually be out there.
You don't even do that much anyways.
No, you're right about that.
Like, this isn't like 10 years ago where guys were actually doing stuff in training camp. Like, Cam Hayward, he's going to hit a couple reps. Like, he doesn't need to. TJ Watt isn't going to do anything. He's going to do a couple individual drills and maybe one one-on-one against Broderick Jones to see if Broderick's ready. That's it.
Yeah, give Broderick a little test out there.
Right.
It's 7:57, time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Coming up next, Steelers get Jalen Ramsey. They lose Minkah Fitzpatrick. Do you think the defense is better now? And what's the ceiling? 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk about that with you. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 80, Plexico Burris, Darnell, Washington. Low of 70, 70% chance of rain.